ABC's Paul James.
The report by Save the Children looked at 40 conflict zones around the world. It says while men do most of the fighting, women and children are often traumatized, injured, exploited, and displaced, and that not enough is being done to protect them. The report notes that children are often separated from their parents and that boys are often forced into combat. Among the worst areas, Afghanistan, Angola, Burundi, Sierra Leone, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Paul James, ABC News.
Smoking banned in all indoor workplaces in Boston, and it could spread to the rest of the state. Legislators will hold a public hearing on the matter. This is ABC News.
News Radio 590 KLBJ. Good morning. It's 1:04. I'm Greg Narag, and topping Austin's news at this hour, Governor Perry is siding with House leaders in dealing with Robinhood. KLBJ's Ricky Reyes reports.
The governor addressed the showdown between the House and Senate involving how and when to change school finance. Governor Perry questioned a plan in the Senate that was introduced by Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst. He says it will take more time to come up with a comprehensive plan that would replace the current one known as Robinhood. Ricky Reyes, News Radio 590, KLBJ.
Round Rock traffic investigators are trying to piece together the cause of a fatal motorcycle accident from Sunday. It happened on Dell Way. Police say alcohol wasn't involved, and there were no other vehicles involved nor any witnesses. 58-year-old Thomas Vic Livingston Jr. of Round Rock was killed in that crash. Well, you thought the campaign would be over on Saturday? Think again.
Many suburban council races went into runoffs when third candidates kept anyone from getting a majority of the vote. Pflugerville will essentially hold its council election again, minus one person in each of the two races. Runoffs will also be scheduled in Cedar Park, Georgetown, and the Hutto ISD. Bill McLean, News Radio 590, KLBJ.
Now a check on the KLBJ Radar Weather Watch. Staff meteorologist Bill Lemmer.
Low overcast settling on in the early morning hours, feeling a lot more like June or July than a morning in early May. We may not go below 70 in many locations. Low cloud lingers for a few hours, then enough sunshine to take us well up into the 80s to around 90 degrees. Pretty warm, so we'll have to monitor for at least an isolated afternoon thundershower. And again Wednesday, we should be near 90. Isolated afternoon storm, more organized activity if it forms, should be well off to the north. I'm Bill Lemmer, News Radio 590, KLBJ.
Right now, we've got mostly cloudy skies at the airport, 77 degrees. I'm Greg Narag, live local news every half hour, 24 hours a day on Austin's News Leader. News Radio 590 KLBJ.
Coast AM with George Norrie.
Archaeologists in Iraq believe that they may have found the lost tomb of King Gilgamesh, the subject of the oldest book in history, the Epic of Gilgamesh, written by a Middle Eastern scholar 2,500 years before the birth of Christ, commemorated the life of the ruler of the city of Uruk, from which Iraq gets its name. And now a German-led expedition has discovered what is thought to be the entire city of Uruk, including where the Euphrates once flowed, the last resting place of its very famous king. That's just one of the many things we're going to talk about with investigative mythologist William Henry, so don't touch your dial. This is Coast to Coast AM. Would you like to double your investment returns? That's true, with world tensions, rising oil prices, stock market uncertainty. And boy, what uncertainty. People are turning to gold to protect and grow their savings and retirement accounts. Now, what they're doing is they're diversifying. They're taking a little bit of money and putting it into precious metals. Gold, for example. Reports are everywhere. Gold funds outperformed all of them in 2001. Great return last year. And gold is hanging on again this year. Gold is there for the long term. This is not a short-term investment. You don't pop in and pop out with gold. Now, Lear Financial, which handles some gold investments for me, would like you to take advantage of a free gold investor's kit. Call this number, 1-800-474-4259. Mention Coast to Coast, and they'll get it right out to you. This free kit includes an audio tape seminar, brochures, it's almost like books, $29 value. It's absolutely free for you. Study it. learn about gold investing, and then if you're ready, when you're ready, call Lear Financial back. They'll take care of you. 1-800-474-4259. Take advantage of this free gold investors kit. Oh, yes, almost forgot. Mention Coast to Coast, and they'll get it out to you for free. 1-800-474-4259. Super Prostate Formula. It's for you guys or gals. If you want to buy it for the person you care about to save them a potential problem, go ahead and do that as well. More than 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, even a diminished sex drive, Super Prostate Formula is for you. Designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Teplisky, Super Prostate Formula combines the nutrients that support the healthier prostate so that you can reclaim control. And by joining the legions of listeners who've had incredible results, because let me tell you, it really does work, you get two bottles of Dr. Teplisky's Super Prostate Formula. They'll give you two more of his Super Libido Formula. That's a natural alternative to Viagra. So you'll also get a groundbreaking book, a complete guide to prostate health, a newsletter, all of that, $100 value, free as a gift. And it's guaranteed to work, or you get your money back. So if you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund. Keep the two bottles of the Super Libido, the book, and the newsletter free. Keep it all. Not available in stores. 1-800-603-7277. 1-800-603-7277. That's 1-800-603-7277. William Henry is an investigative mythologist. He's an adventurer, author of many books, and he's one of those Indiana types who is willing to take the risks and endure the discomforts in order to penetrate the veils of secrecy which shroud our real identity and keep us from discovering the overwhelming and sometimes empowering knowledge of who we really are. Who are we, anyway? He dares to speak publicly about the true history and origins of the human species. No piece of fiction could rival the incredible story of our very own beginnings and the sheer drama of our interaction with the gods of mythology and the larger-than-life getaway stories of biblical reference. He is always excited about his discoveries, about the gods, their gates, and always eager to share his insights with us on Coast to Coast, rapidly becoming one of the most popular guests on Coast to Coast. It's William Henry. Hello, William. How are you?
Great, George. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Getting ready for your trip to France?
I am more than ready. It's going to be a trip of a lifetime. As you know, we're going over to meet Lawrence Gardner in Paris. We're going to take the cathedral tours in search of the secrets of the blue stones of immortality, something that Gilgamesh himself might even have sought.
That's exciting. That's exciting. I mean, do you go dressed up like Indiana Jones when you take these trips?
No, that's
you don't have the big hat and all that?
I don't have the big hat. No, I wear a beret, and that kind of throws people. So.
Well, you know, just last week they talked about this lost tomb of Gilgamesh. And have they been able yet to decide that this possibly is indeed that tomb?
Not yet. They're still saying that they definitely believe they have found the city of Uruk. They have been looking. They have been on the spot for over a year. And now they've come up with a spot that they believe is the actual tomb of Gilgamesh, which is absolutely profound in its implications, because here's a guy, a semi-divine king. He, according to the story, Gilgamesh, the king of Uruk, is two-thirds god and one-third man. But the problem was is that, like Alexander the Great, he knew that he was mortal.
Mm.
And he took off on this quest for the secrets of immortality and looking for the mouth of the rivers and the celestial abode of the gods where the secret of immortality was believed to be housed or contained.
You know, they have probably, not only have they found the tomb, which may or may not be his, but let's assume for a moment it might be.
Right.
But they may have also found this entire city.
Right.
And that's what's so exciting.
This is what has driven me the past few years to really try and uncover the answer to the question of what was Saddam Hussein really up to in Iraq and what is really going on in Iraq even today. It's as if at this moment in history, perhaps by some sort of divine destiny, some sort of a cosmic timing, perhaps even tied in with what's going to be happening in 2012, according to the Mayans. These secrets are coming up out of the ground, and they're coming up out of the ground with an irresistible and irrepressible force. And it's demanding that each and every one of us look at our past. Because in looking to our past in this way, it's going to help us chart or navigate our future.
Well, you know what I found very strange about the situation in Iraq, Liam? It's over and above, of course, the swiftness of how we were able to get in there and do what we did, was the fact that the Iraqi museum got literally looted. And all those wonderful artifacts that you and others have been talking about for oh so many years all got taken away.
Well, you know, the story changes on that, George. Just initially when that happened, I was heartbroken. I felt like a piece of my soul
was gone,
ripped out of my heart and just scattered into the wind. And I was just completely disheartened by what happened. But then my spirit was revived the very next day. The announcement came on Sunday about the looting, and on Monday, talk radio all over the world had people just demanding that something be done to rectify that situation. And I realized then that no matter where you live in the world, no matter what your political or religious persuasion is, there is a core inside of each of us that knows that that was a travesty. That was a total disaster of proportions of perhaps the burning of the Library of Alexandria.
Yes, same kind of thing.
Same kind of thing. But you know what? I'm looking at a paper here with a dateline Baghdad, Iraq, and it's saying that, and this was in my local paper, the Nashville, the Tennessean, saying that there's not 170,000 pieces that are missing. They've narrowed it down, and now they're saying there's only 25 pieces that are missing.
Well, that's good news in a tragic situation.
Right, but the question is, how could they have been so wrong in their initial reports?
Well, they always are.
Right, so that's the good news in this situation, that while at first it looked like it was a total wipe down of that museum, it now appears that maybe the damage isn't as severe as we had initially thought.
Hey, William, let me ask you, while you brought up Tennessee, everybody in your region okay because of the weather and tornadoes that swept through there?
Oh, it's been something. I've lived in Tennessee for 20 years, and I've seen tornadoes and storms come and go, but this one was just right up there at the top of the list.
Oh, my. It is something. You're okay? Your family's all right?
Yeah, fine. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And pray for the families who lost their loved ones. I mean, what a tragedy.
38 people already, and they're still looking for 10 more, maybe more. Maybe more. Your travels. I mean, there's so much I want to tell you, and I've got to talk with you tonight about Planet X.
Okay.
As well. And I want to get your views on it, too, because you do support what Zechariah Sitchin, I believe, in some respects, has written about over the years. But let's talk a little bit, if we can, about some of these other hidden mysteries. I mean, you have, since we first started talking about Stargates, to the point where you educated me, to the point where I had to run to pick up more of your books to say, okay, now I understand what Mr. Henry is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about the Stargate, because there's, you know, we have more and more people joining Coast to Coast now than ever before, and they might not have heard you the last time you were on, and they may definitely not know what a Stargate is. Tell
right.
me about that.
The keystone for any presentation or talk or conversation I have about Stargates always begins with the two movies, Contact and Stargate.
Favorites.
Yeah.
Favorites.
Absolute favorites, especially Contact, written by Dr. Carl Sagan, a man who knew what he was talking about, who had a desire to write a piece of fiction about first contact with an extraterrestrial species. The problem that science confronts when they ponder this question is the improbable distances between Earth and the nearest inhabitable planet.
True.
That these alleged species could hail from. They say it's simply impossible for them to travel these vast distances, therefore there isn't a possibility that we've had first contact in the past. So Sagan is saying, I've got to come up with a way to get around this. So what he did is he contacted his friend, Dr. Kip Thorne, down at Caltech in California, and said, look, here's my conundrum. I need some assistance here. Can you help me come up with a scientifically valid way that I could get extraterrestrial species A to planet Earth? And they came back to him and said, here's what we've got right here. Solid physics says there can be such thing as a stargate or a wormhole, a hole in space through which this species could travel as if there's nothing in between. It would cut out the enormous amount of time it would take for the travel to take place. It would also enable them to outlive the duration of the travel experience. And what Kip Thorne did is he put together a list of the basic Stargate theory, and this was applied in the movie Contact. And so when we're watching that movie Contact unfold, where Jodie Foster receives this message from Vega, the message contains a device that looks very much like something that I've been researching from ancient Egypt and ancient Sumeria, this device is real. This is real physics. And this time travel is another way to think of it. When Jodie Foster is dropped down into this hole in space and travels to the center of the Milky Way galaxy, that is theoretically possible. We can do this now, physicists tell us, if we decide to commit all of the resources of our wonderful planet towards the creation of these stargates and wormholes.
I think one day when science catches up to this, William, they're going to find that that's exactly the way we're going to be able to travel throughout the universe.
I think so, too. And what I've done, George, is I look back at myth and scripture that is just loaded with references to gods and mortals coming and going through gateways, and I've got pictures of it up on my website at williamhenry.net. I've got an article called The Bearded Gods and Wormholes, and you can see examples of some of these gateways in that article that I've posted. In particular, one at the very bottom of the page actually shows Gilgamesh going through the gate of the gods.
That's right. You got a great website, by the way.
Well, thank you very much.
You're super, Joe. Who's your webmaster?
It's Revised Code, publicatlarge.com. Yeah.
Good. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
I thought we had a good one. Yours is a pretty darn good, too.
Oh, Lex, you guys are great. I love going to the coast. That's the first thing I do every morning. I get my coffee and go see what happened last night on coast if I wasn't listening.
I thought I worked long hours. This Lone Heart guy, Lone Heart, that's almost like Braveheart. Mm-hmm. He is up all the time, all the time. He may be a Lone Heart. He works so much.
Mm-hmm.
And just a very knowledgeable person,
right,
when it comes to computers and everything else. Back to Gilgamesh for a second.
Back to Gilgamesh, yeah. So this depiction, and again, it's at the bottom of this article, shows Gilgamesh going through the gate of the gods. And what you notice when you look at it is that Gilgamesh, there's two figures that are holding ringing posts. Now, these posts are probably literally ringing. They're probably emitting a key tone frequency or vibration that actually opens the stargates or the wormholes. And you see some wavy lines that are within the gate itself. Well, those wavy lines are representative of the living waters, the cosmic waters of which all of creation is supposed to be made of. And when you put this together with the living waters in the gate, you come up with a concept very similar to what was portrayed in the movie Stargate, where in contrast to the movie Contact, when Jodie Foster sat on a throne and was dropped down into the hole and kind of flushed through this cosmic transportation system to the center of the galaxy, in the movie Stargate, they walked through a water gate or a water door.
That's right. They just, there was like five or six of them, and they just walked right through.
Right. And so when Gilgamesh is walking through the gate of the living waters, I'm asking the question, is it possible that the gateway experience as portrayed in Stargate is it one scientifically feasible, just like the gateway is in the movie Contact? And if so, do the ancients, did they share a similar experience? And if so, I mean, if you can go along with that, then ask the question, is it possible that the ancients, their stories of Stargate and wormhole experiences, or gateway experiences, let's call them, have anything to offer us moderns? In other words, did they leave behind any tidbits of information, any clues, any suggestions for Stargates or / wormhole travel?
And you have to find them, don't you?
Yes.
How do you find them? I mean, how do you even start?
Well, you start with the stories themselves. For example, there's one of my favorite stories involves the goddess Mary, or Mari. She lived in Syria in 2300 B.C. In 1935, French archaeologists recovered a life-size statue of this goddess, and she's wearing her coat, a helmet, and other garments. Now, this helmet that she's wearing is quite fascinating because it's called the Shigura helmet. Now, Zechariah Sitchin says that literally translated, Shigura means that which makes go far into the universe.
Ah.
And my question is, what kind of a helmet can you put on that makes you go far
right
into the universe?
It's not an everyday hat she's wearing to go out with, that's
no,
for sure.
It's not. You may be able to buy this at Saks Fifth Avenue, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
You'll probably be able to buy it at Circuit City within the next 25 to 50 years, though.
Or Sharper Image.
Or Sharper Image. The way our technology is moving, we are bringing this stuff online, and you will see it. So what I do is I look at these stories and say, okay, she's put on a special set of garments, but even more than that, she undertook a profound mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical transformation preparatory towards traveling far into the universe.
Almost, William, like a virtual reality type piece of equipment that she might have also had on.
Incredibly close. I mean, to where she can do what the alchemists were reported to be able to do, create a zone or a tone of frequency about their body that enable them to have the power of instant manifestation of wishes.
Gosh.
This is part of the training that is undergone here. I mean, we talk about remote viewing a lot, and that's one of the eight great ancient powers that these god beings possessed. Invisibility is another. Levitation is another. The ability to instantly materialize wishes, to remote view. These are all well-documented abilities that were taught to the masters of the past, including the Buddha, including Jesus, and other figures.
Well, you know what's funny is because for years I used to think, how could the ancients do these things without the kind of technology we have today? I have a feeling when you bring things back down to their most simplest form, you don't need a lot of high technology to do what they did. I mean, it's done probably with the power of their minds.
Well, you hit it right there on the head, no pun intended. All of these mysteries are about the human body, which could be the single most powerful technology on planet Earth. When we learn to fully unleash the power of our mind, our spirit, our soul, in this body of flesh that we inhabit, we are talking about a tremendous spiritual and supernatural power that's embedded within each and every one of us.
So as you start your quest at the common denominator, looking for clues that they may have left behind, do you find some things that are just startling to you, or does it frustrate you? Do you not find what you're looking for?
Well, what I find is startling and frustrating is also tragic at the same time. It's the way those that have espoused these teachings or claim to possess these teachings have routinely been exterminated throughout history. While there is a force on our planet that would like to see humanity reach up to the level of the gods and perhaps even to excel the abilities of the gods, there is another force that seeks to keep us at the level of, you know, perhaps just say slaves and sex objects.
Tell me a little bit more about that. I mean, how did they get exterminated? I mean, why did they get exterminated?
Well, let's take the example of the Cathars of southern France. When
okay.
we go to France, we're going to be visiting the Cathar country of Rennes-le-Château and also Montségur. These were a group of people that called themselves good Christians. They claimed that they possessed a secret mystical teachings of Jesus, something called the Book of Love. And with this Book of Love, they had the ability to eradicate all jealousy, all hatred, all fear, and in so doing transform themselves into what we might think of as a Christ-like being. Well, the Dark Age Church at that time decided that it didn't like this competing Cathar religion. And as a consequence, from the year 1200 to the year 1244, they sent over 30,000 stormtroopers into southern France and exterminated every single man, woman, child, Cathar they could get their hands on. Their teaching went sub rosa. It went into the Cathars were paper manufacturers, and they began embedding the secret symbols of their religion, which they said derived directly from Jesus himself and was a symbolic and oral teaching. They began embedding this in paper and communicating it that way. And the reason that people like this are persecuted is because to put it frankly, you can't have a planet full of Christ-like beings running around. They don't pay taxes, and they don't submit to control and authority.
Well, and they have too many people following them.
Right.
And they don't like that either. Stay with us. William Henry, my guest. We're going to continue this dialogue right here on Coast to Coast AM.
Weekday morning from 9 till noon, following the morning show with Mark and Ed on News Radio 590 KLDJ.
News Radio 590 KLBJ. It's 1:30. I'm Greg Narag, and topping Austin's news, Travis County commissioners get an update today on an odor study at some northeast Travis County landfills. A group of residents, businesses, and others have been selected for the first phase of the study. John Cool with the county's Natural Resources Department says they'll begin meeting once they hire a consultant for the study.
We really look to the consultant to sort of head up that that public process, so it would probably be within a week or 10 days of that award of that contract.
Cool says they hope to have the consultant hired within the next 2 weeks. People sensitive to smoke are advised to listen for health alerts and to stay indoors if the smoke levels from Mexican agricultural burning blows this way. It's a regular spring event and should be over by the end of May. Here's the KLBJ Radar Weather Watch. Today, mostly cloudy and a chance of thunderstorms. A high of 90. Right now, 77 degrees and cloudy skies. I'm Greg Narag. When news breaks, we break in on Austin's news leader, News Radio 590 KLBJ.
If you love working outdoors or decorating your home, you'll love the most beautiful landscaping and garden center in Central Texas, Flowerscapes Home and Garden Center in Liberty Hill. Come in today and see our huge new facility featuring everything the gardener needs, including Gardenville weed-free compost and mulch, Ladybug organic soils and fertilizers, gorgeous trees, flowers, and shrubs, plus a large selection of ladybugs, worms, and nematodes. We have extremely deep selections of Jackson and Perkins, David Austin, and antique roses, as well as books, hanging baskets, and wild bird supplies, and a sensational gift shop featuring genuine Texas works of art and water fountains. Visit Flowerscapes in Liberty Hill, and you'll come back again and again. Come to Flowerscapes today and ask for your free gift just for visiting our new location. We're here every day from 8 to 6, and it's a beautiful drive. From I-35 or 183, take 29 West to Liberty Hill and turn right at the first stoplight at 1869. Call Flowerscapes today at 515-5549. That's 515-5549. Or visit online at flowerscapes.info. Flowerscapes, the most beautiful landscaping and garden center in Central Texas.
And now to Chopper John with breaking news.
Steve, traffic is built up around virtually every convenience store in town as crowds simultaneously gather all across the city. Let's go now to Elena Newland, who's standing by with a live report.
I'm right in the middle of a large group of people who've convened in the parking lot of the corner convenience store. This crowd is well-mannered and peaceful, but you can sense the excitement. Excuse me, sir.
Yeah?
Tell me, why are you here today?
Well, I want to win.
Win what?
The money.
The money?
Well, yeah.